The book of Acts is a story of the beginning of Christianity and the church and how the Holy Spirit fueled the spread of Christianity throughout the whole Roman Empire at the time. The Roman Empire stretched all the way over to Italy and all the way up into the other areas. And it was hard to get the message out to everybody. But when Jesus told the disciples to go to the upper room where they had the Last Supper and wait there, that God would send something real special. And he sent the Holy Spirit. So what all does that mean? Throughout the whole Roman Empire, primarily a vast region, which also included all of Israel and all the areas around the Mediterranean Sea, Dr. Luke, who wrote Luke, as we looked at last week, also wrote the book of Acts. It's sort of like a sequel to Dr. Luke's gospel. And what makes it so special is that they were eyewitnesses to the time that this took place. And you wonder, well, what does that have to do with our life, this Holy Spirit coming? If you have a flashlight, which all of us do now, especially with the hurricanes coming, and you pick up a flashlight and you turn it on, and instead of that bright light coming on, it's sort of like an amber glow. And you know, huh, I got to replace the batteries because there's not much power left. Well, sometimes our Christian life is like that. We want to shine brightly for the Lord. We want to accomplish things for the Lord. We like to share the gospel. But sometimes instead we are left only with a dull flicker within our spirit. We lack the power and the energy. And we wonder, what is wrong with me? Well, the answer may be simple. We may not fueling our lives with the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, we know in order to be physically healthy, we got to fuel our life with food. But we also are spiritual beings, and we got to also fuel our spirits. Jesus told his followers that they would have power when the Holy Spirit come upon them, and that's what the book of Acts records. We also know it as the birthday of the church, because the Holy Spirit came. Acts records the Spirit coming and what happened when the early disciples allowed his power to fuel the lives and work for the Lord. God sent the Holy Spirit. If you think about it, we think, well, wait a minute, wasn't the Holy Spirit always here from the beginning? Yes, the Holy Spirit was here from Genesis all the way to Revelation. It just wasn't working individually. And a lot of times during the Old Testament, you know, an angel of the Lord would come. The Holy Spirit was ministering to all the Old Testament prophets and all of those, but he wasn't active in their lives personally. So that's what was so special because, you know, Jesus was with the Father from the beginning of the foundations of the earth. We have God the Father, we have Jesus Christ, and we have the Holy Spirit. So now Jesus came to this earth, and we say, oh, we want to have a relationship with Jesus. How can we have a relationship with Jesus? Admit that we are sinners, ask God to come into our lives through Christ, and fill us with the Holy Spirit. Because when you accept Christ in your life, you don't get him in pieces, you get him all. You get God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit to give you the power to be able to share the gospel in your own life and with others. So the coming of the Holy Spirit was not something that the disciples accomplished. They prayed and submitted themselves to the Lord, and the Lord did the rest, sending the Holy Spirit to empower them for life and for service. So Acts is often called the Acts of the Apostles. And they were apostles. The word apostle certainly means that they were sent out and they were prepared to share the gospel. That's why Paul then declared later on that he was an apostle. He wasn't a part of the original group. In fact, he was persecuting the church. But when he met Christ on the road to Damascus, he became a believer. and he was anointed by God to become an apostle, which we'll look at some of Paul's teaching and writings later on. But it's more described as the acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles. In the first half of the story of Peter's ministry, the second half of the story is the Apostle Paul's ministry. And they scattered throughout all of the areas that was available to them. And they worked with others by Barnabas and Silas and Stephen and Philip. And these were all heroic figures of the day because they were proclaiming God's grace and love to the known world. So God's Holy Spirit, this book of Acts will show us just how brightly that we can shine. And it shows us when this happens and how it can happen. A lot of times we just forget that we're spiritual beings and we don't nourish our own spirit by fellowshipping with others and reading the scriptures and just being still. The Bible says, be still and know that I'm God. That's when the Holy Spirit can renew our spirits. So the Acts of the Apostles talks about the story of the birthday of the Christian church. And the story of what Jesus began to do on this earth. Acts also tells the story of what he continued to do through the Holy Spirit. We know that Jesus is not here with us in a physical sense this morning, but he is here with us through the grace and love of the Holy Spirit because he said, I have to go to the Father, but when I go, I'll send one greater than I, the Holy Spirit. And he will teach you of me. So how do you know whether it's a good teaching or a bad teaching? Jesus also said, there's going to be others coming in my name that will deceive you. And how you know that it is from me is that the Holy Spirit will always teach you of me and also teach you how to live your life through me. And that you will have spiritual discernment and you will recognize the deceiver, Satan. And we're always in that spiritual battle. The whole time that we're here alive, it's a spiritual battle. But the good news is we won that spiritual battle when Jesus said, Satan, get thee behind me, for it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord thy God. And I use that a lot when I'm out in the world and being tempted with things and maybe challenging and maybe doing some things that I shouldn't do. Praise be to God, I do that, and then I don't fall to that. But if I make a mistake, I just repent. Once saved, always saved is a good thing, but you can fall from grace. That's what the importance of repentance is. You don't have to come to the altar again and confess your sins because they've already been forgiven. But sometimes you just need to stop and think and repent and ask God to fill your spiritual tank up. Christian obedience, taking the gospel to the lost people of the world at that time, was just an amazing thing. In the book of Acts, the power to live a dynamic Christian life, the power to tell others about God's love, and the power to carry us through persecution and through trouble. Sharing the gospel, sharing your own personal stories with another person, you say, well, I can't do that. But when you do it, the Holy Spirit will give you the words to speak, and it will give you the ability to do that. So never think that some of the gifts that talk about later on, the gift of tongues, the gift of prophecies, and all that kind of stuff, that if you don't have all that, you're a second-class Christian citizen. Not true. When you are filled with the love of God, you get them all, the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, there's gifts that you can ask for and you can get, but you are never a second-class citizen just because you don't have all the gifts. And we'll talk about that when we get to Corinthians and Paul's letter to the Corinth church explained that very clearly. Whether you lack power in prayer, in your walk with the Lord, or in your witnessing to your service to the church. Now, we talk about the church, and we're talking about the universal church. The Holy Catholic Church, that's not the Roman Catholic Church. That word Catholic means universal. We're part of the universal church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Roman Catholic Church is it's sort of like a denomination. But you are all part of the Holy Catholic Church. A lot of times people say, well, what do you mean we're part of the Catholic Church when we say the Apostles' Creed? Well, that's what it is. You're part of the universal church of the living God through Christ. The book of Acts is a book to read to discover how to recognize your power and your energy in the Christian life. Jesus said that, you know, just when you accept me into your life, that don't mean you're going to not have any trials or tribulations in your life. It says in John, the Gospel of John, Jesus said, in this world, which is what we're in, you'll have trials and tribulations. But fear not, I've overcome the world. You think, well, why do we need trials and tribulations? Well, as we're being groomed and we're being a mature Christian, we always got to be in training. When you join man's army, 6 to 8 weeks worth of basic training, they kick you out and then you're on your own. When you join the army of the Lord, you're in basic training until he comes for us or till we go home with him. So take heart. You got a lot of training ahead of you. And you say, well, why, preacher? Why do you need all that training? Well, if we're going to return with Christ to set up his kingdom after the tribulation period, he wants well-trained saints in heaven to come back and set up his kingdom on earth as he brings this earth back to its original state. So don't worry about if you have trials and tribulations in your life. It's all part of training. So you just on keeping on, and that little song that I like, turn your eyes upon Jesus, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim. So let me share with you a couple of things out of the book of Acts and the scriptures. Book of Acts, chapter 1. And the subtitle of this is The Promise of the Holy Spirit. In my first book, Dr. Luke talking, because he's talking about the Gospel of Luke. In my first book, I told you about everything that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he ascended into heaven. After giving his chosen apostles further instructions from the Holy Spirit, and during the 40 days after the crucifixion, he appeared to the apostles from time to time and proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. And on those occasions, he talked to them about the kingdom of God. In one of these meetings, he was eating a meal with them. Jesus was in his resurrected body, and they didn't recognize him. But when they broke bread, it says in Luke 24, when they broke bread, then their eyes was opened and they recognized him. But here this guy is in his spiritual body eating fish. And they said, well, it must have just been a strange thing or something. But no, Jesus came and appeared to them and he ate with them in the breaking of the bread, proving that he was Son of Man and also the Son of God. The Son of Man meaning he was like us and had to have spiritual nourishment and also physical nourishment. But he set the tone for the apostles to receive the Holy Spirit. And I think this is probably one of the most important things. We're Acts chapter 2, verse 14. And it's a little lengthy, so bear with me. If you have your Bible, you can certainly follow along. Acts chapter 2, verse 14. All right, follow with me. Peter preaches to a crowd. Starting verse 14, chapter 2, the book of Acts. Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, listen carefully, all of you, fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem, and make no mistake about this. Some of you are saying these people are drunk. It isn't true. What he was referring to, this was like 9 o'clock in the morning, and when the Holy Spirit came upon them, they all started speaking in their own common language. And it's just like, oh, it must have been like the Tower of Babel. But it's not true. And I thought, well, that's pretty good. I used to get drunk by 9 o'clock in the morning, but I don't think that's the average person. So he said, some of you are saying these people are drunk. It isn't true. It's too much and too early. People don't get drunk by 9 o'clock in the morning. No, what you see this morning was predicted centuries ago by the prophet Joel. In Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 32, this is what it says. In the last days, I think we are in not the end of the world, but the end of the church age, and we are in the last days. And he said, from the prophet Joel, in the last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. And in those days I will pour out my spirit upon all of my servants, men and women alike, and they shall prophesy. Prophesy is a lot of the times is just proclaiming the gospel, sharing the gospel, not necessarily a prophecy of something in the future, but to prophesy means to share the gospel. And I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and clouds and smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon will turn blood red before the great and the glorious day that the Lord arrives. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And then he said, people of Israel, listen. God publicly endorsed Jesus of Nazareth by doing wonderful miracles and wonders and signs through him, as we know. But you followed God's prearranged plan. With the help of the lawless Gentiles, you nailed him to the cross and murdered him. However, God released him from the horrors of death and raised him back to life again, for the death could not keep him in its grip. King David said this about him in the Psalms. I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. No wonder my heart is filled with joy and my mouth shouts his praises. My body rests in hope, for you will not leave my soul among the dead or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. You have shown me the way of life, and you will give me wonderful joy in your presence. That's Psalm 16, verses 8 through 11. You always find it interesting how the Bible will interpret the Bible. So Peter goes on. Dear brothers, think about this. David wasn't referring to himself when he spoke these words that he quoted, for he died and was buried, and his tomb is still among us. But he was a prophet, and he knew God had promised with an oath that one of David's own descendants would sit on David's throne as the Messiah. David was looking into the future and predicting the Messiah's resurrection. He was saying that the Messiah would not be left among the dead and that his body would not rot in the grave. This prophecy was speaking of Jesus, whom God raised from the dead, and we were all witnesses to this. And now he sits on the throne, the highest honor in heaven, at God's right hand. And the Father, as he had promised, gave him the Holy Spirit to pour out upon us, just as you see and hear today. For David himself never ascended into heaven, yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit here in honor of my right hand until I humble your enemies, making them a footstool under your feet. So let it be clearly known by everyone in Israel that God had made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah. Now Peter's words convinced them deeply. And they said to him and to the other apostles, brother, what should we do? And Peter replied, each of you must turn from your sins and turn to God and to be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of sin. And then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is to you and to your children, even the Gentiles, all who have been called by the Lord our God. And then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly as the listeners listened. He said, save yourself from the generation that has gone astray. Those who believe said, we were baptized and added to the church. I'd love to be a preacher to do that, to bring 33,000 people into the church all at one time. And that's what Peter did. They joined with each other believers and devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, sharing the Lord's Supper in prayer. We give God the glory for what Peter had did and what the Acts of the Apostles did. And that's the story of the church, the grace and the love of God that has come to this earth to be able to share with us. And then what happens in Acts, it gets over then into the Apostle Paul, as the Apostle Paul continued on to that ministry. So Paul preaches then at Rome. And while he was under guard in there, he was sent to Rome. He was in prison. And Dr. Luke went to visit Paul while he was in prison. And the curator, the Roman soldier that was in charge of all that stuff, had a daughter that was sick. And he knew Paul was a man of God. He would minister to Paul, and Paul would talk to him. They would minister back and forth, but this old Roman guy could never change his thoughts about Paul. And then Dr. Luke came to visit Paul. So the Roman curator said, "You know that guy that comes to see you, that Dr. Luke?" He says, My daughter is ill, and nobody can cure her." Dr. Luke took and prayed for that little girl, and she was healed of all the challenges that she had in her life. Now, you would think that that would be good, and he would go to Paul and say, "Thank you." No, he says, "I can't do that. I don't believe in this God of yours, even though some of these miracles." He says, so the end result was Paul had his head chopped off. That's where the book of Acts starts. And then we get over into the journeys of Paul and how that's shared into the Roman Empire, starting with the first book, which is Romans. So what's this got to do with us in our modern day and time? Well, the book of Acts shares the gospel in a way that we can all relate to. The apostles began to proclaim the gospel in Jerusalem. And it got to all the known world at the time. Can you imagine that they even put the gospel up into what modern day England is? They went up into London. All around the world they shared this gospel. Other characters included Jesus himself after the ascension, with Matthias, John, a crippled man from birth, Annas and a high priest, and Bartimaeus and Ananias and Sapphira. Angels, the Ethiopian church. The book of Acts visited many locations in the scriptures. And the key place included the Mount of Olives. I think it's the reason it included the Mount of Olives, because when Jesus returns, that's where he will step down on the Mount of Olives. And he is going to return. That's the blessed hope that we have in Christ. He promised to come back. And I know he will come back because he promised it. So as you read in the book of Revelation is a love letter to us and to the church. But the good news is the whole Bible is God's love letter to us, sharing and understanding what it means to be a follower of Christ and to be able to help other people. In Acts chapter 3, verse 15, it says, "The focus of the apostles' preaching was Jesus, who died and was raised to new life." They said, "You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. And we are witnesses to that." The apostles witnessed what happened with Christ, the crucifixion, the 40 days that he was here on this earth, that they all seen him. And then again, eating with them again. And they know all this stuff took place. So it's just like, I can't give you my faith and you can't give me your faith. And if you study and you want to be able to understand what God has done for you, because he meets us at our point of need at every point of our life. And it's just important that we take the eyewitnesses that give us the Bible to be able to understand that this is so true. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to you, and you are to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." The church. The church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace and was strengthened. Living in the fear of the Lord, encouraged by the Holy Spirit, the church increased in numbers. The Lord's hand was with them. The Lord's hand is with us, and the number of people who believed and turned to the Lord grew and grew and grew. We are somewhere around 2 billion people in this world now. There's other religions of the world, and I say religions because Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a personal relationship with the living God through Christ, affirmed by the Holy Spirit. That's what makes us different as Christians. Anybody can have a personal relationship with the Lord. All they got to do is ask. You're seeing more and more Muslims convert, even in some of the areas of this world where they're being persecuted and even being killed once they accept Christ into their life. But it's a personal relationship that we can all have and do have. So the book of Acts demonstrates the power of the gospel in the people and the lives of society, not only in their day, but also in our day. These few transformed individuals spread the good news of Jesus Christ throughout the known world in the Roman Empire. So many men and women in the book of Acts who were enthusiastic about the gospel suffered for the cause of Christ. Peter was crucified upside down. Stephen was stoned to death. And the story goes on about all the different apostles. They never gave in to denying their Lord.